In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My fellow saints, on this glorious feast of All Saints, I don't have to tell you this, but I will anyway. There is a lonely path ahead of us. Christian faith seeks out Christian company, to be sure, but if need be, we can practice it all alone. We have to tell this to our young Christian teenagers. You might be the only one who does not compromise the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, with fentanyl, or desecrated with sexual immorality. A man, you might be the only one who does not sneak a peek at porn during the lunch hour. We have to say to our pastors, Pastor, you got to be prepared to walk the lonely path. You might be the only one who does not cave in to happy clappy worship. Wives, okay, so your husband won't go to church with you, but you don't have to wait for him to go for you to go. See? You might be the only one in your circle of friends who still believes that marriage is the monogamous union between a man and a woman. You see, if need be, we can practice it all alone and still we are never alone. There are the saints. Wherever Jesus is, there are the angels. There are the saints. Especially right here, Jesus is. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, the Holy Spirit renders the risen Christ present in the assembly. And where Jesus is, there are the angels. And there are the saints. Let me tell you what it is like, something of what I'm driving at here this morning. It's like when you check in at one of those cheap flea bag motels, and besides the cockroaches, the walls are paper thin. And so you settle down to catch the news before going beddy by. And as you're watching the news on TV, you hear music and some voices, you know, coming from the next room, from the other side. It is faint and distant. But you listen carefully and you can tell why the people on the other side, they're watching a romance movie. Well, you try to watch your news, but you're always being distracted by the music on the other side. And your ear just keeps getting pulled back to that. And pretty soon you realize you're not even listening to the news. Why, the music on the other side has taken you captive. It's gotten into your head, and now you can't get it out of your head. Okay. Now, let's just hold on to that for a minute. Our first reading this morning was from Revelation. St. John was given a vision, which becomes what we call the book of Revelation. So he keeps telling you, what I saw. See, he tells you what he saw. Okay. And this book of Revelation, it was then to be read in the poor little beleaguered churches that were just up to their necks in trouble and difficulties. And as surely as they heard this being read to them, they were hearing what John saw. And what did he see? He saw the saints. He saw a vast multitude that no one could number. He saw them standing before the throne and the Lamb. He saw them waving palm branches, a sign of victory. And they were singing with full-throated voices, Salvation belongs to our God and the Lamb. And he saw angels falling down on their faces and praising God with untiring voice, blessing in glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Now, as surely as this is read in the assembly today, there is an invasion right into our space of the music from the other side. The church in heaven, the saints triumphant. So what, you say? That's always the important question. So what? So what? Steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. That's so what? Let's now consider how the book of Hebrews proceeds. The holy writer says, we have come. Now, how would you finish the sentence? When you come to church, what do you come to? We have come to boring sermons and crying babies. Well, we can do better than that. The holy writer says, we have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Now, who's that? That's the saints. See, the saints in glory, registered in heaven, you see. We have come to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. That is to say, when the Christian comes here to Christ, he does not come one-on-one, so to speak. See, when I'm up here, see, it's never just me and Jesus. No. I have also approached the company of the angels and the saints. Where Jesus is, there are the angels. There are the saints. The holy writer of Hebrews mentions Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, a very important idea in the book of Hebrews. Some Americanized Christians will sometimes speak of the mediation of Christ as negating the role of the saints in heaven with respect to Christian worship on earth. But the holy writer sees nothing incompatible between the unique mediation of Christ and the communion of the glorified saints in our worship. You see, the angels and the saints, they are very much a part of our awareness and experience of worship. I notice that you have icons of some saints on the walls of your narthex. You probably have seen these so many times that you no longer notice them, but I do. Okay, and in my estimation, this is a good thing. Because then when I step into the church here, it reminds me that I approach the company of the saints. You see, after all, the saints did not live a long time ago, but now they're dead and gone. No. They are alive because those who believe in Christ never die. And they are standing in worship with the angels. So the next time somebody asks you, what time does church start? Don't say 10:15. Okay. Rather say, some say 10:15. But actually at 10:15, we only join our voices to the heavenly liturgy that is already going on. And there is more of them than us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, like a thickly packed crowd at a World Series baseball stadium. See? And that coincides with the innumerable company of angels. You see that? There's more of them than us. Some saints, their names we know, like Saint Athanasius, Saint Basil the Great, Saint Augustine, or maybe Martin Luther if you prefer. And some saints have been given a special day of honor in the liturgical year. Saint Stephen, December the 26th. Saint Lawrence, August the 10th. Saint Timothy, January the 24th. But most saints remain hidden and unnamed. So that's why we have today a general All Saints Sunday. So today's sort of a catch-all. Today we're going to make sure that no saint goes uncounted. You see, the lives and inner holiness of most saints is concealed, even from the scrutiny of the church. I'll give you some examples. Okay. In his gospel, Luke mentions three women by name: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, who provided for Jesus out of their sustenance. Okay? And then Luke says, and there were many others. Well, who are the many others? I mean, their names we don't know. They are concealed. But they provided for Jesus like the other ones. Or on Pentecost, there are 120 believers waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The church is only told a sliver of their names. And what about those widows who wept over the body of Dorcas? Can anybody hear? Please tell me their names. Or today, the mother who secretly and quietly is praying for the conversion of her son. Their inner communion with God is so quiet and concealed that the overwhelming majority of them are beyond our ability to name. No matter. The Good Shepherd knows them by name and by name calls them. Every Sunday, the pastor intones the Sanctus. Therefore, with angels and archangels, see, what we're about to do, we're going to do it with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. Now, who's that? Well, the saints. The saints in glory, the church in heaven. See, all your loved ones who have fallen asleep in Jesus' wounds. Okay? So let's try it again. And this time let's run it all the way through. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven and of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy. See, that is what the seraphim are crying in the presence of God. And we are now blending our voices with the heavenly liturgy. In the sacrament, you see, the veil that separates the church in heaven and the church on earth is lifted. And we are all together. The church in heaven, the church on earth, the church triumph, the church militant, we're all together in one communion of saints. It is very sad that some Christians in a time of grief or crisis can fall prey to the attraction of occultists who seem to offer them some sort of strange warmth or weird illumination. In their bereavement, some Christians, maybe they're not too well grounded in the faith, but they are actually tempted to go to spiritists. I had to deal with this once. Imagine how tempting it might be if you lost a dear one or a loved one, and now you're thinking, now it's too late. I should have said this. I should have cleared this up, but now it's too late. And think how tempting it might be if someone would come along and say, oh, but it's not too late. I know someone who can make contact with the dead, and they're having a seance this Friday. Maybe you can pass along a message to them, and maybe they will even, you know, talk with you. Now, this can be enormously tempting to someone in their loneliness. The temptation to make some sort of shadowy contact and thereby make themselves playthings of demonic powers who take advantage of our sensibilities. But my friends, what Satan offers in dreadful distortion in dark corners, we celebrate in broad daylight as blessed reality. The risen Lord, triumphant over the grave, having brought immortality to light, comes to us in the sacrament. And where Jesus is, there is heaven. Now you see, for us, heaven really isn't so far away. How many light years would it take a rocket to get to heaven? Nonsense. Pure nonsense. Remember when Saint Stephen was being stoned outside the walls of Jerusalem? Stephen saw heaven open. It was right there. It was right in front of his nose. And he didn't even need to use a telescope. You see? Heaven is a different dimension. But it's very close. It's where Jesus is. And Christ makes an opening in the gospel and the sacrament. And where Jesus is, there are the angels, and there are the saints, and we're all together in one communion of saints. After all, by Jesus' resurrection, the wall that separates heaven and earth is paper thin. In the name of Jesus, amen.